this morning, I was listening to some teachings on forgiveness and as much as lieth in you, that kind of thing, and got to thinking a lot about God's forgiveness and thought it would be a wonderful thing to look again at God's forgiveness, something we can always be reminded of. It's nothing to forget, that's for sure. So we're going to start in Colossians chapter 1. There we go. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, we were purchased, even the forgiveness of sins. We were purchased back. We have forgiveness, and forgiveness, this word has a nuance to it of having a releasing of a penalty or being forgiven in such a way as though it appears this, the sin had never happened. It's really quite a full and rich forgiveness. One reason we are gathered together today in fellowship or when we gather together is because we're all forgiven. If we weren't forgiven, we couldn't be in the kingdom of God. This is God's plan. We are all forgiven. No one can get there without the forgiveness of God. And his forgiveness is because of his grace and the work of Jesus Christ. His grace and his love and the work of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 1, please. Verse 7. I'm really interested in the second part of the verse here, but we'll read the whole thing. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It cleanses us. It makes us free of defilement, free of faults and failures. That blood of Jesus Christ was that big of a deal. And very, very, very precious to God. You don't have to go back, but in Colossians 1, verse 14, where we see the word forgiveness, that's a Greek word, aphesis. And it means aphesis. And it means a release from bondage or imprisonment, forgiveness or pardon of sins, and remission of penalty. Remission of penalty. Absolutely no penalty for our sins. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. It's good to remind ourselves of these things. I mean, we know we're forgiven. I know I've been forgiven. I know I've been forgiven. Matthew 26, 28. Just going to look at two verses with this word, aphesis, aphesis. Matthew. And it says, for this is my, what? Blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's that same word. The forgiveness with no need to repay. No, it's just totally forgiven. Boom. It's amazing. So the blood is what got us the remission. Okay. Now look at Luke chapter 4. And we'll go to verse 18. This is Jesus Christ speaking when the book of Isaiah was delivered to him. And he opened it to the place where it was written. And verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That was one thing. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and another thing, and recovering of sight at the blind, and another thing, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and another thing, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So he was sent to preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance, that's that word ephesis, to the captives, and recovering of sight of the blind, also to set at liberty, that's that same word, ephesis, the forgiveness, them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Deliverance to the captives. Well, we were all captive to sin. That was the barrier between us and God, sin. And so we were captivated by it, that's for sure. And the liberty is to them that are bruised. That's forgiveness again, to them that are bruised, or liberty to them that are bruised. Bruised means broken in pieces or shattered. And we were not complete without the Spirit of God that we got when we got born again. We were bruised and shattered. And yet, that's what Christ did. I have a note, the blood of Christ is precious to God. The blood shed as he was lashed, crucified, and pierced was precious in the sight of God, his Father, and our Father. John 3:16. Somebody quote it? Anybody?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
That whosoever
believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Right. Whoever believes in him. You know, it was a very big deal to God to have his Son born, live the way he lived, you know, raised to do what he did, and then to give his life. It was very real. Could you imagine watching your son getting tortured, you know, crucified, pierced through the ribs? It's God's Son. This is very, very precious to God, and he was willing to make that sacrifice, and so was his Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to go to Isaiah 53. Very familiar section to lots of us, but it is, I don't want to say awe-inspiring, but it is humbling to read what Jesus Christ did. This is a prophecy about him, and to see what this meant to the heart of God and what it meant for mankind. It's humbling to read. We'll start in verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. We can read that in the Gospels. And who shall declare this generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the what? Transgression of my people. He was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. We were bruised, and pleased the Lord to bruise the Lord Jesus Christ for us, have him go through what he went through. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, his life was an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. And we need to note that. That precious blood, the sinless blood of Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he made satisfied the justice of God so that we could all be forgiven all the time for everything. Talk about a complete savior and sacrifice. Okay, where'd I go? Satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their what? Iniquities. Again. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Was he a transgressor? No, he was not a transgressor, but he was numbered with the transgressor. He took our sin upon himself, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. What a Savior. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 12 we'll start. Everybody there? Verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's us. That's amazing. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are we perfect spiritually? Absolutely. We have that Spirit of God in us. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Will I remember no more? Wow. Now where remission, that's that same word, ephesus, remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. If our sins have been paid for, if they're taken care of, there's no more offering. We can't do anything to get ourselves forgiven as far as the spiritual reality of forgiveness. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus. Here we see that this forgiveness broke down the barrier of sin, and it allows us to have access to God by a new and living way which he has consecrated or dedicated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Jesus Christ was the veil, and he was torn. He, you know, there's a lot in here, as you all know. We'll just read through it. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. This new covenant, you know, if our forgiveness is paid for, it's paid for. Now, I would like to see a show of hands. You guys downstairs too, okay, over here. How many people have bought a car on payment plan ever? Okay, so after you finish paying off that car, did you say, hey, I want to do it again? Set me up for another payment plan. Well, then why in the world do we treat God's forgiveness sometimes in our brains like we got to do something? His graciousness is many times beyond our comprehension. I mean, when you consider all the stuff that he does and has done, you would never pay for your car twice. Jesus Christ paid for our sins, our transgressions, our faults and our failures. Our faults and our failures wove the crown of thorns that he wore on his head. Beautiful excerpt from a song. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. He took our place. Now, I have a question for you. How many sins did you commit after Jesus Christ accomplished this, after he shed his perfect blood for us to be saved? How many of those sins have you committed after he did that?
All of them.
Right. That's something. How about what about tomorrow? Is that forgiven? That's something we need to remember. And I'd like to say here that this is not a human type of forgiveness. This is not, did not come from the mind of man. This is a divine forgiveness that allows us to have access to the heart of God. And it's really an immense spiritual reality. And later, next week, we'll see how keeping this immense spiritual reality in the forefront of our thinking and really understanding the heart of God in forgiveness toward us will help us to have the proper response to him and within the body of Christ. So now let's go to Colossians 1, and we'll look at the result, one of the results of forgiveness. Can't say the, one of the. Verse 121. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by what kind of works? Wicked works. That's sin. Wicked works. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in sight. That's the result, one of the results, some of the results of forgiveness. We are holy. We are God's saints. We're set apart. We are unblameable. We have no blemish. Those would be our faults and failures. No blemish. Just like it means without defect attached. That's like the technical meaning, blemish. Without defect attached, just like the sacrificial animals that were brought to the temple, they couldn't have any defects, you know, like no little warts sticking out, that kind of thing. Well, that's how God has made us because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the incredible sacrifice. And unreprovable, of course, is unimpeachable, which means we're free of accusation in the sight of God Almighty. Free of accusation. Christ paid for everything. He removed our guiltiness before God. Do we need to feel guilty? No. For all you ex-Catholics. Just thought I'd throw that out there. He's given us a life and a relationship with the Father. Colossians 2, verse 11. In whom you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He's forgiven us all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. These trespasses, our sins, our faults, our failures, everything, it was blotted out. We're all familiar, pretty familiar, I think, with the ancient Eastern practice of somebody owed a debt. It would be written down, put up on the wall, outside the gates of the city type thing. And then if somebody came along, so Dennis comes along and he goes, I want to help Suze out, I'll pay her debt. And then he would pay the debt, and then somebody would take the handwritten note and fold it up, nail it shut, and that meant that was taken care of. So it was a custom. We don't do things like that now, but that's what this means. And in reality, it was that, those sins, that what we owed God was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. He took it on his cross. It didn't even go on the gate, it was on the cross. So you did not die a death for your sin, and you were not raised because of your sinlessness. Me either. Yet, because we believed in the power of God, it's as if we were buried and raised with him. Verse 13, the word forgiven, this word forgiven has the root in it, charis, which is grace. It's a free thing, freely given, this forgiveness. And I'd like to read the NIV version of this, of verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. All of them. So just a couple of things to say in closing. A couple of bullet points. The church is made up of forgiven people. Something to keep in mind. Same Christ died for each one of us. Same God forgave each one of us. And we should have had to pay for our sins and trespasses. You know, trespasses when we fall away from what is right or just. We should have had to do that. We inherited sin from Adam, right? And that was the barrier to God. But we became participators in sin as we trespass against God. So we participate in sin when we trespass against God. And we're all the same. And that sin was a barrier. And we all, here's a great bullet point, we all desperately need God. We desperately need him. And now, because of God's divine forgiveness through Christ, God has forgiven us all. Christ has canceled our legal indebtedness. There's nothing we have to do for God to pay him back for our sins. to make it right. Jesus Christ did that all. He canceled our legal indebtedness. Remember in Isaiah, God was satisfied. And when you read through that and you look at what was required of the Messiah, you see that Jesus Christ legally, to the T, took care of every single thing that was required for the redemption of mankind, with God's help, of course, and by the grace and mercy and love of God. So it's completely canceled. Our debt to God is canceled. The very heart of God is now open to us every single moment, now throughout eternity, because of this, which is an incredible truth. And a little close in Psalm 130. And the psalmist recognized the great mercy and grace of God. Had the Messiah come yet? No. But he recognized this. And he said, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, well, Lord, who shall stand? We're all goners. We're all doomed. But there is forgiveness with thee. Why? That thou mayest be feared. We should have great respect and incredible loyalty and desire to get closer and closer and to live within God's realm of his heart and his will, because God is the great forgiver, and Jesus Christ had the wherewithal and the love to follow his Father's demands for justice, and he did it, and now we are completely forgiven for everything, even future things, and that should make us really want to serve God the best we can in light of that, and within the body. And that's what we'll look at next week. So that's what I wanted to share.